Welcome back. I'm Zélie, and I am here with Cindy Chavez and Sharon Giles Pullen. I'm French, so I say Gilles, but Giles Pullen, with the New Mexico WIC Breastfeeding Promotion Manager. This is Sharon and Cindy Chavez from the New Mexico Breastfeeding Task Force. Now, I understand also that the task force is celebrating 25 years.
Yes, we formed the task force 25 years ago, and it's a coalition that started out with La Leche League leaders, hospital nurses, and the Department of Health WIC program, just about six of us. And now 25 years later, we have 18 chapters, and we have a huge group with W.K. Kellogg's funding of $1.5 million for breastfeeding promotion projects over a three-year period.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
I think it's been a really successful coalition.
Now, we're here today as well because August is Breastfeeding Awareness Month, and you also had a Breastfeeding Awareness Week. And there may be listeners out there who say, you know, one, well, I don't have children, I never breastfed, or I'm a man, why are we having this? But this issue really impacts everyone and impacts our culture. Can you all talk a little bit about the campaign that you have now to really talk about breastfeeding?
Absolutely. So I'm Cindy Chavez, and I'm the coordinator for the New Mexico Breastfeeding Task Force. It's really an exciting time to be a breastfeeding advocate. We just had breastfeeding report card data released by the CDC, 2013 August data, and over 85% of New Mexico moms have already made the choice to breastfeed.
Wonderful.
Previously, we used to use the terminology that it was a woman's choice whether she wanted to breastfeed. But here in New Mexico, moms already know the benefits. They already know why they want to breastfeed. They've already made that choice. The challenging thing here in New Mexico is that something fails New Mexico moms somewhere down the line in their inability to meet their own goals. And that's what the New Mexico Breastfeeding Task Force is all about, is we want to help shift that community culture to support breastfeeding. You know, crazy enough is it's the formula companies out there that have given this idea that it's a mom's choice whether she wants to breastfeed. I think that every time a mom stops breastfeeding because her nipples hurt, or because she's fearful she doesn't make enough milk, or she goes home with that can of formula that she got in the hospital, and she gets home and breastfeeding is no longer comfortable for her, it hurts, the baby won't latch. Or every time a mom tries to negotiate the challenges of working outside the home and negotiating with her employer about flexible work time to pump. Or every time she stops breastfeeding because her childcare provider isn't able to work with her breastfed baby because they are too fussy, or the childcare provider doesn't know how to properly handle and store breast milk. Every time a mom stops breastfeeding because she goes out in public and she's embarrassed to breastfeed, or she's fearful that she's going to get kicked off a plane. Right?
This is a big one, right? There is a big stigma about this, and there have been stories recently about breastfeeding mothers being kicked out. Was it a Subway or something?
And, you know, we have laws in almost every state in the country. Here in New Mexico, we have a law that it's a civil right for a mother to be able to breastfeed her baby in public, anywhere that she's allowed to be. And we also have another law that requires employers to provide flexible break times and a quiet, clean place, not a bathroom, but a nice, quiet, relaxing place for a mom to pump her milk during work hours. So we do have legislation that has helped to support the moms. But Cindy's right, 85% of moms are choosing to breastfeed, but only 20% make it to a year. There's a problem there. We really need to support the moms to be able to do that, because the Academy of Pediatrics, the World Health Organization, every major medical agency has, you know, the evidence is just totally overwhelming and solid that moms need to be breastfeeding for at least a year. That's a minimum of a year, and thereafter as long as the mom and baby wish. And so when you've got 85% that start out doing that, and you get down to 20% at 1 year, they don't even make it to 1 year, that's where those of us in the WIC program and with the task force are trying to work on helping moms maneuver those barriers that are preventing them from
It's not easy. I mean, as somebody who did try, I didn't make it to a year, and I needed a lot of support in the beginning. and
right.
end and middle and all of that. So what kind of resources are out there?
Absolutely. Well, and again, just to go back, the reason moms might not make their own goals, what I want to emphasize is not a personal success or a personal failure that she didn't make her goals. It was that we as a community did not, we as a village did not help her meet her own breastfeeding goals. And so there's actually lots of support for moms out there. Moms need accurate information from their physicians and from their healthcare providers. And so that's one source for moms to go to. But she also needs the community support of support groups. If she's on WIC, she has an amazing resource with her breastfeeding peer counselors. She can go to support groups through La Leche League. There are lactation consultants throughout the state that can help her. But more importantly, we need to build more community support with employers, with child care providers, with schools, so that mom can negotiate that challenging time of still maintaining her milk supplies, still maintaining that breastfeeding relationship, and all the extra responsibilities she has as a working mom.
So if a woman does have a baby now and she's breastfeeding and maybe she would like to go back to work, how should she open that conversation, and what should perhaps her partners and her friends do to support her in that?
Absolutely. I think she needs to start that conversation when she's pregnant.
Yeah, probably.
With her employer. Absolutely. Yeah. Employers want to do best by their employees. And if they have that discussion up front while mom's pregnant, they have ample time to work out what can be best for the employer and for mom. And it can be something as simple as finding a clean private spot for moms to nurse. It could be a great big lactation pumping room, but it doesn't have to be, right? It could be a small section in the office. What employers need to recognize is that moms have to express milk on a regular basis. And so the more flexible they can be with allowing mom to maybe come in a little bit earlier in the day to put in those hours that she, or that time that she needs flexible to pump. So maybe she negotiates her schedule.
And you know, when we've worked with employers, when we've, whether the mom or those of us at WIC or the task force has contacted an employer, when the employer understands that it's a benefit to the workplace.
Yeah.
There's less absenteeism, moms are happier, they're more productive, they're more, you know, it's so much easier to go to work when you have a healthy baby. And breastfed babies are healthier, that's the bottom line, there's no dispute about it. So for an employer to see that the little bit they have to negotiate with the mom for expressing milk is well worth the benefits they're going to get too. Besides,
right.
You know, it's just, it
fewer
makes
days
sense.
Off, and mom's loyal to that company.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now, we really kind of jumped into the larger cultural structure that supports the mother, but we should, in case anyone doesn't know, can you elaborate a little bit more on the benefits of breastfeeding?
Oh, my gosh, the benefits of breastfeeding. We also like to term it also that the risks of formula feeding, because breastfeeding is the norm. That's the normal way to feed babies. So when you introduce formula, there's more chronic and acute illnesses, such as respiratory illnesses. There's more allergies. There's more just even the incidences of long-term things like cancer and obesity. There's a direct link with lowering obesity through breastfeeding or increasing obesity through formula feeding.
As well as
type 2 diabetes.
As well as for mom, reducing her risk of high blood pressure and hypertension. I mean, the chronic disease protection that breastfeeding extends is both for mom and for baby.
Yeah.
Now, I have a friend who recently had twins who they were not born from her body, and she actually bought breast milk from somebody else. I had no idea this existed. Where would somebody go if they can't breastfeed? Maybe this is a child born from somebody's body, but they still can't breastfeed.
Right.
And we certainly, I know many people, and I don't think anyone who does not breastfeed should be shamed for that either, because it's a challenge.
Absolutely. So moms are able to work with the Human Milk Baking Association.
The Human Milk Making Association.
Banking.
Milk banking.
Yes. Thank you.
So they can get, they can register through that organization to get milk. That milk primarily goes to babies who are born in the NICU, and those moms who are unable to provide breast milk in the hospital setting.
The mom NICU would be the neonatal intensive care unit.
Thank you. Yes. For a mom and your friend, for example, might need to work in a more informal milk sharing circle, and so there are through, Human Milk for Human Babies is one of those organizations. And there are definite, not all health organizations approve of that kind of informal milk sharing, but we feel that moms need to make informed decisions about mm-hmm. what is best for
Couldn't
their baby.
Couldn't they contact Dar La Luz in Albuquerque? That's a group that is getting breast milk
yes.
banked from Denver Milk Bank. We don't have a milk bank here in New Mexico. We do have a milk depot that gets the milk from the Denver Milk Bank. So Dar La Luz in uh-huh. Albuquerque
is a milk depot.
Yeah.
Correct. And
yeah.
so moms can donate milk through that, but they can also get more information about the Human Milk Banking Association.
Can you tell us a few more? We're going to have to wrap up in just a few seconds, but just one other thing that people can do to support their breastfeeding friends, partners, mothers here.
Gosh, I think a huge thing is just to voice their support and how proud they are uh-huh. of them for, you know, just uh-huh. to be able to listen to moms. Most of the time, a lot of moms' fears and struggles with breastfeeding are from what she perceives from everybody else uh-huh. that, oh, she might not be giving her baby enough because you can't count the ounces in the bottle. But for people to be just supportive and uh-huh. to, you know, to say, way to go. When you see somebody
right.
breastfeeding in public, to walk over and say, what a beautiful
yes.
thing you're doing for your baby.
That is great.
I think that's huge.
Great.
Cindy Chavez and Sharon Giles Pullen from the New Mexico Breastfeeding Task Force, thank you both so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
To the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Zaylee, sitting in for Mary Charlotte.